Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, this is Lee Cantor with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and got a full house today, buddy.
We certainly do. I think we have all our listeners in one room. Huh?
That's right. It's convenient. We can bring them with us wherever we go.
This is going to be a lot of fun. We got folks from Healthgate, from Marietta Business Coach, Harn and Associates, AmeriPride. It's a party, man.
It's a little of everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have Larry Small and Tanya Mack with Healthgate. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for
having
us.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Let's start with you, Larry, if you would. Can you give us just a little bit of a broad stroke overview of Healthgate? What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Healthgate is an online community that is making it easier for consumers to identify really great providers. They're board certified, double board certified, highly credentialed, that are willing to donate savings in the spirit of community and goodwill, savings that can lower your healthcare costs anywhere from 25% to 50%.
Now, Tanya, how did you guys come up with this?
Well, I think we looked in the headlines and our own personal experience, and it came out of a conversation about how we all have pains with healthcare and high deductibles these days, and gaps in coverage and no coverage. So one of our investor groups actually had an online transaction business doing about $2 million a day, and they thought, can we take our experience and translate that into the healthcare space to help people save money, find great providers?
Okay, so let's walk this thing through. This is the medium is the internet.
It is.
Is that accurate?
It's a website.
And people are donating savings. Speak to that a little bit and walk me through exactly how a consumer might use it.
There's three parts, if you would. There's the physician part. So they provide discounts for savings opportunities in their areas of specialty. So they provide really the inventory or the bank of opportunities that you could find what you need in terms of services.
What's an example of that?
You could find an urgent care visit. You could find a women's health care checkup. You could find an ENT visit. You could find a new procedure. You could find traditional things like a liposuction. But what distinguishes us, I think, is that we do more medical, not just health and beauty, but we also have regular things you'd need. My kid has an earache.
So like an MRI?
Towards that. Yeah, imaging. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
wow.
you have a prescription from your doctor. You know you're going to have a high deductible. You can kind of find your own way to savings, if you would, rather than rely on who your doctor owns.
And then I guess this need has bubbled up as more people move to a high deductible plan. Is that the thing?
I think it's not just high deductible. I think there's kind of gaps everywhere. High deductible drives it because really only 70% of us that have high deductibles actually ever meet it annually. And so there's a lot of opportunities to just have us keep writing our own checks.
Now, why don't we take a step back and why don't we define what high deductible is a little bit?
Like, so high deductible would be I have an insurance policy, but the first $5,000 or $10,000 comes out of my pocket and then my insurance policy kicks in.
That's high for most of us, Lee.
That's
I know
high.
It's not for you.
Yes, I think that's high for everybody. When you say the deductible is $5,000 to $10,000. That means I'm paying out of pocket. I'm writing those checks.
Correct.
And then when I'm writing those checks, now I care how much things cost.
That's
right.
Right. So whether
those $20 copays are meaningless now, right? Because now I'm writing the whole check for
That's
whatever
exactly
the cost
right.
of the visit
It's you,
is.
You, and you.
So what's the motivation for the physician, the provider, to provide these discounts? Is this just a good, strong way to go to a market, or why are they doing it?
Well, I think there's many reasons. One is I think that they are driving business to them. So if their overhead is paid and we are basically helping them market their business and fill their capacity, I think they're learning how to communicate with patients because patients are online. And I think they get the benefit. There's no doctor that I know that doesn't have a give-back component to their practice. They get the benefit of that. Each one of our physicians also, or most of them do, participate in 100% donation. So if we have a physician who by day is a plastic surgeon, by night fixes cleft palate lips on kids, he gets the benefit of people knowing that rather than just my medical practice. So he actually gives back in the community. So the tagline is where great doctors give back. So they actually help give you opportunities to save, and actually they give back in their communities.
Wow, that's I wasn't aware of that. So there's doctors have a need to have that element of their business kind of publicized in a way that's not overtly salesy, but it's a way that they can give back more to the community.
Yeah. And we found some secondary benefits. For example, when you go see your internist, but now you need to see a cardiologist, he'll right. give you a referral. That referral now is connected in a community where they themselves are kind of digitizing their referral base. So if a doctor sends a patient to HealthGate to look for an opportunity, and they also see a pediatrician there and a women's health provider there, it's a lot more visible than just, gee, that was the buddy I went to college with, or you're on my insurance plan. It adds another component to it. So I think we're finding many reasons why doctors are engaging.
So politics, legislation, is this having an impact, positive or negative, on what you guys are trying to
Boy,
do?
Boy, we all wish we knew what ACA was going to lead us, what road down. From our standpoint, really, no matter who got elected, no matter where we end up, and no one is the expert on ACA right now, I think what we're going to find is that even though we have expected maybe 30 million Americans going to hopefully get coverage, it's not going to be the end-all, be-all. There's going to be gaps in it, just like we have today. And we'll be more and more responsible for funding our healthcare decisions and paying the price for our healthy lifestyles as time goes on. So I think there'll be a space, maybe an adjunct space, but a space for HealthGates to continue well into the future, no matter what the legislation is.
Now, how does the consumer interact with HealthGate? Is it do they become a member? Is there a card, or do you just go online and you can see savings or email to you? How does that engagement work?
Well, it's really simple. I mean, you can visit HealthGate.com, and what we're really excited about is, you know, we've developed some really great relationships with great providers in the area. But more importantly, users can go there, they can watch videos of providers and kind of get a better understanding of their personality or bedside manner. Learn about the procedures that are being offered, but video really tells a better story. And mm-hmm. it's really easy. What most users really appreciate is that there are no monthly premiums assigned to this. It's not like a group discount plan. I mean, you really just kind of, as you need healthcare services, you can get them accordingly.
But that's a whole other dimension. I'm not just getting this one-time special offer, fix your leg for half price thing. Mm-hmm. I can demonstrate my credibility, my expertise by what I'm sharing on the video, mm-hmm. and that's there, too. That's part mm-hmm. of what these folks are getting out of this.
Yeah, they actually see the physicians. They see the real patient stories. They see what their staff thinks. They actually see a video of where you'd be going, so it's not just a flat shot. You can actually get a little feel for the personality and the look and feel of a place. So I think Larry's right. Video is one thing that distinguishes the providers that we're affiliated with.
So what do you need? You need more people going to the website? You need more providers? You need both?
We need both. I think we need, certainly, we pre-sold an opening HealthGate over $4 million in inventory before the site was even done. So we've proven that the doctors definitely have an interest, and we continue to grow in breadth. So we need more specialists just so we have more offerings. And then we love to have more people transact with the site and join us and figure out what they need and tell us what they need. The market will tell us what they need, certainly.
Now, is there a social media component to this? Like, is there a way for the person, the consumer, to share their experiences, you know, through social media? You have, like, Facebook presence. Is that an important component to what you guys are offering?
Yes, sir. There are three different ways you can actually join. One is through social media. Also, you can share a story. You know, our community is really about collaboration, what we really appreciate. So as we look to identify great doctors that also have a great heart to give back, we also look for the community to kind of share with us what procedure they're most interested in. Mm-hmm. So sharing stories is another way. And finally, simply an email, by providing an email. And again, there's no cost involved. It's just a matter of collaboration, community.
So really, like, say I go in there and I join, and then I express a need of, I need x-rays, right? And mm-hmm. say that's one of your services you have or you're about to have. And then you start to get to know me a little bit, and maybe you know that now I have a broken arm. Is it something where you can now ping me with, hey, we have an orthopedist that you might be interested, so that you're giving me the things that I need as our relationship deepens?
Yes, sir. It's a very custom solution. And we have a community manager. I mean, yes, we're an online community and the transactions takes place online, but we can meet your custom needs. And you can actually call us and identify what those needs are and share a little bit more about how we can better serve.
Wow.
So how are you even getting a chance to talk to these doctors? Because I got to believe, if I'm a provider and I sit down and I have this conversation that we've had, I'm signing up, man. I mean,
what's the downside? I don't see a downside.
But it's got to be tough to even get 5 minutes with a doctor to just describe this to them, yeah?
Well, certainly the hardest part is getting to see the doctor. I think you're right. It's getting. But you know what? It's starting to take off.
You can pretend to be hurt.
I could pretend to be her. Like, yeah. Wow. I don't know how far that'd get me, Stone, but
Tanya,
yeah, that might be unique.
Has a lot of ailments.
Yeah, referrals and relationships. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, the doctors hang out in the doctor's lounge. They certainly talk about what's new and what's coming and how to communicate right. with patients. So mostly it's referrals and relationships in the community that we've had. Employers, you know, we have self-insured companies that are writing their own checks.
Oh, there you go.
So business, we're trying to do a dual impact with both the business and direct consumers right. and the healthcare community.
And then you just sit Larry on them, and it's a done
That's
deal.
It. It's game over.
One, two. We're done.
It's a proven formula. Well, before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners have contact information. You might go back through those three ways that they can sign up. So website, phone number, email, all that kind
of
stuff.
So you can go to healthgate.com, and if you go to the Join Us page, you'll see three different ways you can actually join. But more importantly, we invite you really just kind of experience the site. Everything is really housed at CareBank Savings, where you can see a list of all the different procedures that are available. Again, we focus on medical, health care, dental, and beauty procedures. So,
terrific. Well, thank you both for coming to the studio
thank
this morning.
Thank you for letting us introduce the company. Thank we you appreciate so much. It.
Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Yes,
sounds
sir.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Lee, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the president of Marietta Business Coach, Mr. Michael Keynes. Welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So, Coach, who are you coaching and what are you coaching them to do, man?
Well, I actually coach on two different levels. Primarily, I work with professionals, doctors, physicians, lawyers, financial planners, dentists, CPAs. And I coach them on setting objectives and making sure that they're clear on what they're doing and that we're working together to get them at that stage where they really, really want to. Because most professionals learn how to be a professional, they learn how to be a dentist, but they don't have much business training. So a business coach really,
it's not really part of the curriculum in med school, or if it is, it's hit with a very light touch.
Very, very minor. And so that's one part of my practice. The other part of my practice is process improvement. I've been doing that for 30-odd years with small and medium-sized companies. And my team work to ensure that your processes, your business processes, are as efficient as you can possibly get them. And it's those process improvements that really drive the bottom line.
So how'd you get into that part of your business?
Actually, that was the probably the start of my business. Uh-huh. I started with a large company in Canada, Bell Canada. I came down to the Atlanta area with France Telecom, and I did a lot of that work with those large companies.
What was their pain that they were having that they needed their process improved?
Primarily, I worked within the warehousing logistics environment and making sure that they were able to move their product, have their product in the right place at the right time for their customers. And I've extended that out to the private sector now. And 3PLs, third-party logistics companies, are a good source for me.
Lee didn't know what 3PLs were. Yeah,
but he told me. He bailed me out. Now, is it the same? Is it conceptually the same to create process for logistics as it is for any type of business?
Yes.
Need or problem?
Absolutely. What we do is...
Are there checklists involved?
No.
No checklists? You can do process without checklists.
No, we build a process. We'll come into an organization, and we will sit down with the staff and the management team, and we'll draw it out on a Visio map, a process map, and we'll look to see where there are inefficiencies in that. Once we find those, then we correct it, change the process around, test it, make sure that it's working the way we think it's going to work, and then right. we actually write process documents so that people can follow them and work towards continuous improvement.
You'd have a field day right here.
Are there rules of thumb when you're creating process that just kind of mistakes that people typically make that you see all the time?
Typically, it's a simple matter that people don't know exactly what they need to do, and handoffs and rework. Sometimes we have business processes where the work goes back and forth between two or three different people.
And like the people in charge never notice that?
No. They don't necessarily notice it because that's the way it's always been done oftentimes.
Oh, that's a good – you probably hear that a lot.
I do. and it's hard to change mindset sometimes. You know, we've always done it that way. It works for us.
Right.
But what really needs to be said is that by improving their process, we improve their bottom line because of the efficiency gains.
Right.
But along with that comes a top line improvement, because as you improve your processes and your ability to serve your clients and your customers, they see better service levels and they're more likely to stay with you.
Right.
And as a result, you can grow your top line.
Because you're actually improving the customer experience by improving the process.
Absolutely.
And that may be more, they may not see that. They may not see that as an initial objective, but that's kind of what happens at the end.
Absolutely. And there's a natural extension to all of this. It's the ISO certifications, which is simply put a way to put your processes into a specific type of format, and it's tested and certified by an organization that's international.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can raise the flag and say, I'm ISO certified. That allows you to market that, and that allows you to attract new customers, because by doing that, they know that you've achieved a certain level
right.
of quality excellence.
And you have, you've helped people achieve that certification in
Absolutely.
The past?
Absolutely. We finished one this time last year,
mm-hmm.
and we are now getting ready for them to do their first audit, because the ISO organization audits annually to make sure you're sticking with your
That's good job security for you, though.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
But there's some business you can't get in some arenas if you're not ISO certified. Is that accurate?
Very true. Some companies, AT&T is a good example, want their suppliers to be ISO certified. So when you go to bid on a business that you see a quote for, if you're not ISO certified, you're going to automatically be disqualified.
Right.
Yeah.
So with process improvement, ISO certification, your sweet spot, relatively large, complex organizations, or do you have offerings
for...
He
said he does doctor's offices.
I know. That's what it really does apply to doctor's offices?
Applies to everybody, small and large alike. You know, the small companies can still use improvements in how they do business.
But what's the pain in the doctor's office? Like, how do they know? You said they don't even know that there's a problem because that's how it's always been done. So how are you going? What's the pain they're having that they're like, you know, maybe we need a process improvement specialist to come in here?
Well, I think one of the best examples is a dentist that I worked with. He had about $1 million in outstanding work that he had sent to his patients and said, you need this crown or that type of
right.
work done. But there was never any follow-up, and he was wondering why his revenues were down. So we started to look through this book, and the process that he had in place just simply didn't have his staff following up.
Not a postcard? There was no postcard?
No postcards, no phone calls, anything like that. So that was a very simple one. And
but you look like a hero. Look, all of a sudden now you're bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the beautiful things about an ISO certification is that we have ways, especially here in Georgia, to fund the effort, the cost of doing this, because there are tax credits through the state of Georgia, which allows us to help you get this business improvement done, get your ISO certification done, and then put in a tax credit request,
and fund
lo and behold, the government's funding it.
Wow.
If you can navigate the ISO certification process, you can certainly navigate the tax credit process.
Do you have a process for helping companies get tax credits?
Yes, I have.
How lucky is that?
I actually have a partner that works specifically with doing these types of tax credits.
Wow. So what kind of businesses do you want to meet more of?
My sweet spot really is the third-party logistics companies.
Mm-hmm.
3PL. And that's because I've done a lot of work over my career in the warehouse and logistics
right.
environment. However, currently I am working with small local governments as well, because if you think about their financial structure and their stresses,
right
now they need all the help they can get the efficiency that they need to ensure that their dollars are going as far as they
right.
can. So I'm actually working with some of the smaller local governments. Not so much on an ISO certification, but simply process improvement.
I got to ask you the same question that I asked our previous guests about marketing, because it seems like that first, I mean, everybody we talked to, I mean, you guys, you got this thing going on, you understand what you're doing. If you can get 5 or 6 minutes just to tell somebody what you do and how you do it, it's very compelling.
Yes.
But how do you get that first meeting, or how do you just get on their radar? I mean, you tell people at a cocktail party you're a coach. I mean, yeah. they dart for the other side of the room, right?
That's true. That's true. It's all, for me, personal connection. It's networking,
right,
and word of mouth. And
and he has a track record for
and
years.
And I've got a track record.
And now you got Tanya's going to tell people about
absolutely.
You.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're set.
I'm all set.
Amazing how that connection works.
And I really enjoy what I do, and that makes it easy for me to talk to a potential client and sell them on the idea of what it's going to benefit them and how it's going to affect their bottom line.
Well, it certainly comes through. I could tell you have a great deal of passion for your work. And I tell you, I think, and this is open to you guys too, but I think it'd be great if you came back sometime and we had the same conversation, but we included a client.
Sure.
And get it from their perspective and maybe
and see
walk
how you work together,
process.
Like where their pain point was and how you were able to come in and kind of.
That could be cool,
process.
Yeah, that would be
That'd
a lot
be
of
educational,
fun. Absolutely, we could do that.
All right, let's give our listeners your coordinates so they can reach out and have a conversation.
My coordinates are. MariettaBusinessCoach.com, and I've just got a local phone number that I use, which is 770-826-2559.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in, man. This has been a fantastic conversation, and that offer's quite sincere. I don't you think that'd make for a great show to have a panel or a round table about this? And we'll just talk it through and have them walk through the engagement, get input from the client. I think that would be fantastic. So, man, this is I'm glad we had these folks in the studio this morning. So we do have Studio Full, and we got some other folks to introduce you to. These gentlemen are from Ameriprise. I'm going to say the name wrong probably, but I bet I can pronounce the first name. We have Jamie Benedetti. How close is that to accurate?
Surprisingly close. Surprisingly
all right. Close. And and Bob, I'm not even going to try the last name. And Bob. How do you pronounce your last name, Bob?
Gooser.
Gooser. Well, welcome to the show, gentlemen. Did you learn anything listening in the cheap seats before we got you on the mic, yeah?
Absolutely. That was interesting.
Yeah. Don't act so surprised.
Yeah.
They win best. Well, no. Look at this. We got like three people in tie.
Shocking.
We should put on the memo that this is
radio.
This is radio. But maybe they have meetings they got to go to later. So Ameriprise Financial. Wealth building, financial management. So what are you guys up to out there?
Well, I actually personally specialize in the personal financial planning side of the business. And Jamie, I'm going to let Jamie tell you what he does.
I focus on qualified retirement plans.
I'm sorry, we have your mic set on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm going to move it back down to the regular note.
How's that?
I suppose I'm not as tall as the previous guest. Right, but, I specialize in qualified retirement plans. So these would be things like 401k plans,
so you work with businesses?
Exactly, with the business owner to help design the plan. And Bob and I actually own a franchise of Ameriprise called Benedetti Gooser & Associates.
So that's a franchise. Ameriprise is a franchisor, and you're a franchisee?
Essentially, that's the way it works. Ameriprise is our broker-dealer, so we clear all our trades through them, and they essentially negotiate all the selling agreements with the different financial product providers.
And then how did you guys decide to partner? What was the background? You guys
no one
together?
Else would work with us.
your corporate – that's how me and Stone worked together. It was the same problem.
No, we actually both started as employees, and back then it was American Express Financial Advisors. Bob was in management. He's been doing this about 14 years, and I refuse to go into management, but
again, a similarity with Stone and I.
he reached a point where I guess Bob had had his first child and wanted to step out of management and back into the field, and I think I was the only person willing to work with him.
So the kind of work you do, to me, there's just so many levels to it, a lot of layers of complexity, because you're dealing with human beings that, you know, money is an emotionally charged issue, I think, for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. Many times you're dealing with couples, right? So you got different personalities in there. What kinds of challenges, what kind of problems do you solve on a daily basis, or what kinds of, I don't know, thinking patterns do you at least try to influence to some degree?
Well, one of the first things that we do, we sit down with folks, actually, we help them set goals, what they are trying to accomplish in life. We try to understand what's important to them, what's keeping them awake at night. And everybody, for instance, wants to retire at some point, right? So when they come in, we ask them the same questions. So essentially, when do you want to retire? Well, you know.
Now. Tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Right.
But there's no clear definition of what that looks like. Is that age 60? Is that age 65? And why is that? Why do you want to retire at that time? And what would you like to do? Do you see yourself in Atlanta? Do you want to buy a beach house?
Right, or traveling or whatever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's lots of choices. So you help them kind of narrow that down?
Exactly, exactly.
And I'm sure that's when you narrow it down and you kind of get that kind of reason why they want to retire, when they want to retire, and you tell them, oh, you're going to need X number of dollars.
And they fall out of chair.
What does that conversation look like?
That's a very frank conversation in most cases.
And then you're like, I have this, and I need to have this. And then obviously
we help them adjudicate the difference.
Exactly,
yes.
To make that bridge.
And the important thing there is there's no wrong or right answer to that. You know, we've got some clients that will say, I want to retire at 50, and I don't care if I have to eat canned lima beans for the rest of my life to do it. And we've got other clients that say, no, I want to retire at 50, but I want to live a more enjoyable life between now and then. And if it means I have to work 10 more years, then right. I'll work 10 more years.
So do you ever run into the same bed, different dreams, and you're having this conversation? This couple's never had this conversation among themselves. And then now you're a therapist, right?
Right, like one of them's like, hey, I want to travel the world. And the other one's like, I want to sit at the beach.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because we are part financial counselor, part marriage therapist. And I really do think it has benefits to a relationship because it's funny. You can watch a couple and you can watch the husband say something to the wife or the wife say something to the husband and they totally disregard it and we'll say the exact same thing and they're like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. You're so smart. My husband's an idiot, but you're really smart.
So in terms of specific advice, it's got to vary greatly from individual to individual, and mm-hmm. it sounds like a good starting point, and it sounds like a simple thing, set goals, mm-hmm. but that goes grossly neglected in a lot of cases, I'm sure. But in general, do things like the 401k plans and all these investment vehicles that we've all been at least exposed to, they still have merit for most people's plans, or has all that changed?
Right,
a
is
lot?
That a must-have, or, you know, the climate's changing so dramatically.
Absolutely. I mean, no matter what happens in the economy, people will still retire at some point. People will still send their kids to college at some point. So what's happening in the economy, yeah, it makes things maybe a little bit harder at this point, but that's not going to prevent you from working, from retiring at some point. So our job is to make sure that where we are right now, figuring out where we are right now, what the point A is,
right.
and where they want to go, what the point B is, and then figure out how we can get from point A to point B in the easiest manner.
Right.
And we basically help them hold their hands during these tough times, too, so that they don't make the emotional mistakes that most people make.
So that they, like, react to, like, a headline in the newspaper, and then they want to sell everything they got because they're freaking out.
People like to buy high and sell low for some reason, right?
You know, I make this joke a lot to clients, but this is the only industry where if I raise the price of the product that's for sale, people want to buy more of it. And if I drop the price of the product that's for sale, everyone wants to get rid of it.
So you've got to be that voice of reason. And look, I don't care how good you are. Whatever plan we put together today, that's not going to – you can't just stop. This thing has to be tweaked and managed, and you got to dial it back in all the way through,
target.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, it's absolutely a moving target. I mean, you can set the most reasonable assumptions today, and 5 years from now your life's going to be totally different, and you have to readjust or else you're going to end up way off course.
So this can't be just a transactional relationship. I went to my broker back in 1978.
Right, it's not a set it and forget it.
Right,
kind of
you got to have a
relationship, right?
But working.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Do you work with people on do you have quarterly, annually meetings? Like how often do you kind of have to touch base just to make sure that the goals are still aligned and the method of achieving those goals are still in place?
Well, that's different for different clients. You know, initially, if someone hasn't worked with a financial planner before, I shouldn't say the bulk of the work, but there's a lot more work that's done up front because we've got to get your house in order.
Right.
Once it's in order, it's more about maintaining. And so a typical client for us at Benedetti Gooser & Associates, you know, we will insist that we meet face-to-face 2 times a year. For some clients, it needs to be more. Maybe it's 4 times a year.
Right.
And there may be periods in their life when things are kind of on autopilot and they're going fine and they'll say, you know what, let's just have a couple conference calls this year, and then the next year they'll change jobs or they'll have to move or they'll have all kinds of financial turmoil in their lives, and we might end up meeting 5 or 6 times a year.
Right.
So I have a confession to make. Yesterday I got a little bored doing my radio host gig thing, and I was counseling our buddy running the board there, our producer, Kevin Finn, trying to help him avoid some of the mistakes that maybe I made in my younger days.
And you are not a professional.
And I am not a professional. I don't have any of these letters behind my name that fill up your guys' business card, but I suggested to him a couple of ideas that I think have merit now that I'm getting old and gray, like pay yourself first, be careful about going into a bunch of debt. What I'm getting at is just general philosophical question. Where do you guys stand on taking on debt, this idea of paying yourself first?
You know, loading up the credit card to buy materialistic things. You know, you guys like that idea? Is that a good plan?
Well, Bob, why don't you take the credit card piece, and I'll talk about paying yourself first.
Credit cards is really a dangerous game because if you're not wise with the usage, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. But if somebody's going to offer me interest-free loan for the next 12 months, I'll take advantage of that. And as long as I can pay it off within that time frame. So it's not a bad thing, actually, if you can use it wisely. I also suggest that my clients check their credit reports on an annual basis. You can obtain your free credit report, actually, once a year, and make sure that there is nothing on it that doesn't belong in
your
credit
report. You can get the real score now for free, can't you?
Not the actual credit report. You can get it for free.
So it would show line item by line item.
If you forgot to pay the Sears card or whatever.
Exactly.
Or if it's wrong, right? That's where you pick up mistakes.
Exactly. So make sure that, you know, if there's anything that doesn't belong to your credit report, you report that to the credit agencies.
And that's not incredibly uncommon, that you'll look at your credit report and there's something that's driving down your credit score and you look at it and say, I paid this 5 years ago. What's going on? And it's the sad thing is it's up to you to call the credit bureau and have it fixed.
And last thing about that is if you're wise about the usage of your credit cards, that's going to help you down the road when you decide to buy a car or a house, because a good credit score is going to help you get a lower interest rate.
Okay. So there's some benefits of having a credit card as long as you're using it kind of judiciously.
Well, absolutely.
The word they used like three or four times was wise.
Right.
Which
that's
is not
usually the
problem. First word that comes to mind.
that's a big problem.
For some people.
Because, you know, you can look at this from a strictly financial standpoint and say, wow, 0% interest. There's a lot I could do with that.
Yeah.
The flip side of it is behaviorally, it doesn't always work out that way. You know, you end up buying things that maybe aren't a good investment in the long run.
A 52-inch flat screen. Right. And then
like one in every room seemed like a good idea.
Absolutely. So wisdom, if any, in trying to establish some discipline of paying yourself first? And if so, how do you even do that?
Sure. Well, it sounds like a really cheesy term, pay yourself first. But it is an important psychological distinction that I see between our clients. People that pay themselves first, I think the mental process that is going on is they're going to say, I need to save $600 a month, and they save that $600 a month, and then they pay their bills and they pay whatever, you know, they need to pay. Whereas most people do the opposite. They pay their bills and they save whatever's left over. But guess what happens?
There's nothing left
over. There's never anything left over. It's amazing, but your expenses have a way of rising to meet your income.
Right.
And I mean, psychologically, it's just different, and we see it
time and time again. This isn't just something that's happening to one guy out there.
And it's something that it's almost impossible to teach when someone's older, because we'll see clients that have very modest incomes and are some of our best clients and are going to retire early because they look at it this way. And from the time they were very young, they were setting money aside. And we see clients that are the opposite, that have exceptional incomes and they're never going to retire because No matter how much money they make, they will always spend above their means.
Okay, let's work the other end of the spectrum here in our little therapy financial practice of ours, if we could. Let's go to Lee. He's made some money. Now, should he be thinking wills, estate planning, that kind of thing? How important is that really in the scheme
of
things?
And that's part of where you get involved as well?
Absolutely. We're not estate attorneys. We work in collaboration with estate planning attorneys, but it's crucially important. I'll pass this one off to Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a misconception about estate planning. People think that only the wealthiest people must have wills, etc. But everybody pretty much have to have an estate planning document, like a will, live-in will.
But don't you have one even if you don't have one?
That's absolutely correct.
What do you mean?
It just
by
might
that?
Not be what you want.
Exactly. The government takes over, right? If you don't have anything, the government's.
Well, oh, well, then I'm sure everything will be fine.
It's on a state-by-state basis,
which
makes it even more confusing because depending on the state that you're in, your assets might be divided differently.
Mm. And otherwise, yeah, like you said, there's a otherwise your assets will go through what's called a probate process, which can be costly and which can be a public process. And your wishes may not be respected. If you have children, for instance, you think your Aunt Jody might be a good fit, and your wife might think that her cousin, Betty, might be a good fit. But if the state of Georgia decides that your Uncle John is a better fit, and you know for a fact that your Uncle John is not a good fit, well, your wishes
may
not be respected.
Right?
Exactly. And we definitely suggest that you consult with an estate planning attorney to get your
What about, like, LegalZoom?
Wow.
Should I do that?
That's, I feel like I'm stepping in a landmine here because my default stance is it's better than nothing. So if what is keeping you from getting a will
so
is...
So I should run over to Office Depot and get a will?
If what's keeping you from getting a will is the cost.
Right.
And, because, again, we've got to manage giving good advice with a client's behavior.
Right.
And so if I know a client is not going to go out and get a will because they don't want to spend $750 on an attorney, going to LegalZoom is better than nothing. But it's dangerous because you're not an attorney. I'm not an attorney.
Right.
And there are a lot of unforeseen items that an attorney can step in and say, hey, in regards to your specific situation, we need to make these modifications.
Right. Okay, so you guys give specific counsel to people, and it's going to vary by every individual, I'm sure, what should be in their portfolio as best you can. What kind of mistakes do people make when they try to manage their own portfolio if they don't have the benefit of expertise and counsel from somebody like you guys? Because I bet you see the same things over and over, like, here's another one.
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest one that we see is an emotional mistake. And we react emotionally to things. So, for instance, I gave you the example of 2008 when the market went down drastically. People got out when the Dow Jones Industrial maybe was at 7,000. And they waited and they waited and they waited.
They waited for that bell to ring to tell them to buy now, right?
Exactly. And, you know, if it never happened, well, they missed all that great opportunity. So the second thing is they think that they can be their own doctor. Which, in most cases, you know...
Well, there's a lot of commercials that make it seem like even a baby can do this.
I would hire that baby.
So what we would suggest is that you work with a professional to help you avoid these emotional mistakes during those tough times.
And I'll give you a kind of a more down-to-earth example of that. What typically happens is everyone is aggressive when the market is up. So when we're having good market returns, everyone wants a 25% return, and they'll invest accordingly. They'll invest in something that is aggressive and volatile, which means it will take big swings. And then a couple years later, the market's down, and that investment does exactly what it was supposed to. It's down 15%. And you're at a cocktail party, and you talk to your neighbor, and your neighbor looks at you, and he goes, you're crazy. You just lost 15%. My bond fund got a 6% return.
Right.
And what do you think you do?
You got to get out and you got to move it to that bond fund
because
I want to win it every turn.
You do the exact opposite of what you should do. You sell that stock fund when it's cheap and you buy the bond fund when it's most expensive. And then a year goes by and you're at a different cocktail party. Now the market's back up and you talk to a different neighbor who says, I just got a 35% return in my international small cap technology fund.
Right.
And what do you think you do?
I better get out of my bonds and move into that international
fund. Now 6% doesn't seem so good, and you make the same mistake in reverse.
Right.
Well, I do think it'd be fun to have you back sometime, but we got to go now because we have one other guest that we want to get to. But let's do make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you guys.
Sure. We are right here in Sandy Springs. You can reach us at 404-602-0101.
Or if you Google us, Benedetti Gooser & Associates, we should come up.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, guys, so much for joining us. That's a very informative segment.
Yeah.
So I feel richer already, don't you?
I feel that you're smarter.
Okay, but enough of this undercard stuff. You know, everybody's been waiting very patiently. We've got the headliner. It's time for the big show, and it is my pleasure to introduce from Harnon Associates, You think I can get this right? Danita Harn?
That's pretty good.
Now you got to lower her mic even lower.
This is a full-time job.
We started up in the sky, and now we're going back into our height people.
I think I'm the shortest one in the room.
I will agree with you.
Well, Danita, thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for being such wonderful support there in the cheap seats. But hopefully you can enjoy it from that perspective, too. There's been a lot of good conversations.
Absolutely. I can't wait to do business with these people. They have a lot of really great innovation. It's exciting.
Now, speaking of support, that's kind of what you do for folks, isn't that right?
We do. We do back office support. What that means is we do bookkeeping, marketing, payroll, HR, business consulting. We create board of advisors. Essentially, we're here to assist small to medium-sized companies through their birth and growth stage, and eventually we want to set them free into motion. So
they can fire you?
Yes.
You want them to hire you and then fire you.
That's the objective. That's right. To get too big to need us. That's right.
That's an interesting dynamic, though. We ought to explore that a little bit. If you really are, it could happen. You could get a company to a point where now they need to bring someone on full-time payroll, right?
You got it. And
you're cool with that?
You bet. That's what we're here for. We want to prop them up for wins. You know, out of this economy, we're born many things, and some exciting innovation is one. And my expertise is in financial turnarounds. And, of course, this economy brought a lot of opportunity, right, for screaming business owners to want to be
good job security for you.
Yeah.
Well, it was painful. And what I sat with some business associates and said, how do we fix this? How do we get these business owners ahead of the curve? So the biggest thing is to get them thinking about where they want to be. What is their business objective? So we want to start with their end point. Do they want to grow and sell? Do they want a lifestyle company for their kids? Do they want to merge acquisition? What is their objective? So we want to tee them up to do that. And by doing it, much like some of the people before me were speaking, we've got to do some innovative things. And so we create financials that drop into their tax returns, right? So we're working with their CPA. We want them to check our work. We want that checks and balance for this reason. If they're going to go get funding, if they're going to get VC, if they're going to merge, if they're going to acquisition, you got to have clean books. So you have to have books that are ready at any time. So we create financials that start with what's your tax return look like. We create accounts that drop into your tax return. So it cuts time and dime at year end. Your CPA knows what you're talking about, right? Most of the time they have to recreate your financials right. to try and get them right. And then we also create reporting for you. So you have real-time reports on your business. And much like the people before me today talking, they have great points. Business owners need to know real-time, what are you doing? Your financials are your report card. Right? From the minute you flip on the lights and the minute you flip them off at the end of the day, it tells you what happened in your business. So you got to know real time so you're ready to increase your sales or cut your costs immediately.
Now, do you work with a lot of startups or do you wait? You want them to be a little more mature?
You know, our client base is from one employee up to probably about $30 million in revenue. And we either do a little bit of work for them, we put people on site to work for them, or we take over their entire back office. So we will do about anything. However, we place people who are very in the know and experts at what they do based on the business they need. So, for instance, if they need marketing, we're going to get the best that we know. We've tried Trude in our business to work with them if we don't have that expertise internally. We have a board of advisors, too. So any client that we bring on also has the expertise of our board of advisors, which is far different than a board of directors, right?
Right.
And they're there to mentor, to open up their Rolodex, and to help these people grow. The small businesses are the best investment we can make today in this economy. So helping them get sturdy to grow and flourish is only going to be good for us.
Now, are there any mistakes you see over and over again that you're like, these are... Have you read any book out there? This is an obvious one.
Right. Well, you know, the owner of B2B CIO CFO wrote a book, and I think he said it best when he said the actual infrastructure of a company isn't, you know, here you have your C-suite at the top and your managers below them and then your staff below them.
Right.
You simply have finders, minders, and grinders, period. Okay. And that's true. And if you stop finding the business, you no longer have that operational engine you need to fund your company. So it's really key to keep your operations going. And most of your finders are entrepreneurs. They're your people that are willing to take the risk. They live wild and woolly. You know, they go out and they assert themselves in ways most people wouldn't because it's not careful.
Right.
Might make these guys a little crazy at first, right? Yeah. Right? So those people tend to want to try and do their books in the beginning, and they want to tend to try and do everything themselves. And what they don't realize is, you know, it takes about 18 months to get a business up and running and get their legs under them. So what they don't realize is once you know you got a business, make sure you're going to do the business. You're finding it. You're not trying to do something that you don't specialize in.
So you guys are the minders?
We are the minders, absolutely. And we help them be smart about their business at all times. And that's key. A lot of business owners make the mistake of not knowing the pulse on their business. They're just going out there and doing whatever they have to do in the moment.
Right.
And they need just a little bit of guidance, smart guidance, innovative guidance, not guidance that costs $250 an hour. You know, it needs to be really intelligent. So they at all times are focused on their key strategies for why did they start the business in the first place.
So share with us an engagement with you guys. What's it look like? Like, I'm having this pain. I have my bookkeeping's a mess because I was doing it myself on QuickBooks, and I'm spending, you know, weekends doing this instead of going to my kid's baseball game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to hire, you know, Harnan Associates. I'm sure that's a point of entry for you guys, is that kind of basic bookkeeping thing. And I would understand that your scope of work probably expands the, you know, the more we get to know each other and the more I see value in what you guys are bringing to the table.
Absolutely. I'll give you two examples, if that's right. So a small client of ours, she very, very smart girl. And in this economy, she was, you know, caught in the whirlwind that most people are. And she said, I don't want to be in corporate America anymore. Right. I want to go work for myself.
That means she was laid off.
That means she quit. She said, I can't take this woman being mean to me anymore. Right. And so she took a chance on entrepreneurship. She was very, very good.
Uh-huh.
She had a small firm in psychotherapy. So what we did is sat with her and said, okay, well, what are you doing? You're paying how much an hour to do this yourself?
Right.
You're missing business.
Right.
You're not growing your business.
Exactly.
So we helped her re-engineer her business. Now she has several offices in Atlanta, and she's doing it the way she believes is correct, and that's to really heal people. It's not about just the paycheck. So that's pretty neat.
Right.
She's flourishing while doing what's purposeful to
her. So now when you had this initial consultation, then you took, I'm sure, some of the administrative hassles for her off her plate so she can focus on her work.
That's right. And at each month she gets a set of smart notes along with her financials that says you need to assert collection efforts, or we need to, but if you don't, you're gonna have cash flowing issues next month. Well, about payroll time, right?
Okay, so you're not just giving her like a P&L.
Nope, we're telling her to be smart about your business. And
so
how
you're
to
giving
do
her
it.
Some advice.
That's right.
Along the way.
That's right. It's not just Betty Bookkeeper that, you know, makes some errors and that, you know, she's getting the work done. We're there to keep an eagle eye on your business and keep you smart. So at the end of each month, we sit with you and we talk about your business, about what you need to do strategically, how to grow.
And so an actual conversation, we're sitting in a room together, or this, you're sending me an email with like 6 points?
We have clients all over the U.S., from California to the Carolinas. So most often it's by phone, and most often it's through the internet. However, we sometimes like to do, you know, if I can't get a business owner to pay attention, I want to look them in the eye. and in this economy, you don't fly to see them.
Right.
So we're going to use all the different methods through the internet.
Technology.
That's right. So I can look at them and say, what are you doing? How serious are you taking this? You know, we care. So I want to talk to you and I want to look you in your eye. Listen, you got to do this different.
Now, you mentioned early on that a board of advisors is an important component to your business.
That's
now,
correct.
Why is that an important component, do you believe, for everybody's business?
It's not going to fit everybody. But in this economy, there's a lot of free instruments out there. But business owners oftentimes don't want to do it alone, but their ego doesn't really let them bring in the appropriate partners or the right people, or maybe their growth is hindering that a little bit. So what it does is, first and foremost, start to shape your company on, A, you're not alone, and B, you're in the hands of really intelligent people. What I mean by that is they might have gone out and grown a company to 90 million, 100 million, sold it. So they've been through all those growth stages.
Right.
They might have a huge Rolodex that is very necessary for you to tap into. And they know how to protect you. Risk mitigation. So we want these people on your board. Some of them are celebrities, retired athletes, or business owners that had their wins. They sold their company. Their wife can't stand them. They're home for the first time.
Exactly.
Yeah. They need health insurance.
Every day you got to do something, right?
Yeah. We got to give them purpose, right? So anyway, we help their wife out and we replace them, or we help the husband out, right? We put them into
a
business.
It's a win for everybody.
That's right. And they find their purpose again. So we use their celebrityism and their intellectual capital to give the company legs. But another example we were talking about earlier.
But how would that affect me if I'm your client? Some celebrity guy is going to call me up and say,
that's right.
Oh, you should do this.
Based, it depends on the company. Kind of like these guys before me were talking, you can't give advice that's, you know, canned to the same right. same person or the same business. You really have to make it custom to them. So how does it help them? Well, it gives their SEO and SEM legs if that's what their business needs.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them shine. If it's a celebrity, it's going to help them get the marketing that they need. All right. We use that in many innovative ways, inexpensive ways. If it's business consulting or it's relationships, they're already ahead of the game. First off, you have somebody that's already been there and done it, tried and true, knows the right people to talk to, the wrong people to talk to. And instead of you going through the steps A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z, they help you go from A to Z, and you're a whole lot wiser getting there. The key component is a business owner willing to listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about? So these people don't.
So then you hook them up with that therapist you were working with.
Yeah, right. but we were talking a little bit earlier about small businesses, but the other end of the pendulum that we see happen a lot is companies grow wildly fast. Their success is so exciting. They're a great finder. And they don't care about minding. They find no absolute worth in it, value in it.
Finding solves a lot of problems.
Just put that crap in QuickBooks and get it over. I don't care. And let the accountant deal with it at your end. Well, the problem with that is, I'll give you a couple for instances. We have one company where the business owner was his best friend, the business manager in the company, and that's what they called him. Well, since 2008, he didn't pay payroll taxes, and he was hiding all the notices. He didn't invest anybody's 401k, but they were afraid to say anything. Ridiculous.
Well, that is a difficult conversation.
You or I'd have problems with that, but some people really do. So this company's an absolute nightmare of a mess.
Right.
So we have to go untangle them, get processes in place, which, you know, these guys were talking before about processes. They do matter. If you're getting an audit, you have to prove that you have a process. If you're getting due diligence on your company because you're going to sell, you got to have processes. You got to prove what you're doing.
Right.
We don't know what they were doing. So we have to untangle them and then get them set straight, get their legs under them, put processes in place that are transactional. Minders do transactional things, and they're necessary. Accounting, law, management, it's all transactional stuff. But they have to have a process to follow, or they don't know what they're doing. So we go get them straightened out. We get them back on track. We're able to redo all of their funding with business partners. So we go talk to every bank that we can get our hands on and say, tell us what it takes for someone to get a business.
So you're doing this on behalf of the client.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And our company.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit bigger than just bookkeeping, et cetera. We're really their partner. But our lead in is their financials, because, again, we want their report card. Do they even know what they're doing? And if they do, how can we go do it bigger, better, more? So, yeah.
So how do you work with them? Is it a retainer? Is it...
Both. We can hourly? We do hourly. It just depends, again, on the client, you know, what the solution, what the fit is.
Mm-hmm.
So we either do hourly. Maybe we do a bank of hours so they know what to budget. And just like your minutes each month, they roll over to the following month.
Right.
Or they might do, come on site. We this golf course we have in California, I sent someone on site to do Undercover Boss.
Uh-huh.
And I came back to the business owner and, you know, hey, knock on.
Great.
What is going on? You know, what do you think is happening here? You've got people running businesses out of your kitchen. So, we get really assertive in how we want to help these companies. They deserve it. And at first, they're maybe taken a little back by it a little bit, but they deserve it. So when we engage, we're going to put the solution in place that's best for them. And it is custom. And we are serious about it. We want them to grow, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
Now, what's the first conversation look like? Is that a free or thing, or you're on the clock as soon as they dial you up?
No, I want to talk to them. First, I need to know, do I want to do business with you?
Oh.
Right?
Good for you.
Right?
But you have used up our free conversation.
I think so. That's, you know, half of this is for us to get free advice.
I know.
You
know? Believe me, I know.
I got to get a will now. I can't go to Office Depot to get the thing. You know,
right.
I learned a lot.
So what's next for you, and what do you need? You're looking for more clients? You're looking for more help to service the clients you've got?
Or? We're particular about both. I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't want just any client. They have to have some cash flow going or the ability to get to it. So we're not opposed to helping someone turn their business around, but I'm not looking for somebody's problem where they brought their family into the business and I got to go fire them all. That doesn't go well in Georgia, right? Right. So we're looking for companies that have a little bit of health in them that we can breathe life into, or they're really good and we want to get bigger. Then we want to help them grow. So essentially any client, I would say 30 million and under, all the way down to one person. If you're starting, we've helped people write business plans that are smart, that are electric. We have a guy that he works for CNN Espanol, and we just helped him get legs to his business to go out and create movies that are absolutely dynamic, will change how we see movies. We're out there to help any small to medium-sized business. So as long as they're healthy, they got a good head on their shoulders, we're all about it. They got to pay their bills.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good practice.
That's right.
And website?
www.harnandassociates.com, and that's H-A-R-N.
Good. And associates.com.
That's
good stuff.
Right.
Well, thank you so much. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and all the guests we had here today on Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next week.